Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Rebecca, and I will be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, the creature that move along the grounds, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Rebecca. I don't know if you have ever heard someone say this to you before. Maybe something like this. You are the spitting image of your mother, or your father, or your uncle, or your cousin. Many of you heard that before? I don't know where that phrase comes from, the spitting image. I'm not really sure why we say that. But we say things like that when we see the resemblance of somebody else in somebody that maybe we're close to. And depending on who they are, that can be either a good thing or a bad thing, right? We might say, thank you, or thanks, right? But we see the image of each other sometimes in people that are related to us. And there's a little bit of difference, though, when we say it like this. Not just the way someone looks, but maybe the way someone acts. And so that can be either a good thing or a bad thing as well. So I could hear something like this. You're just like your mother. And we go, oh, that just fills with warmth. Or depending on how it's said, you're just like your mother. Right? Yeah, oh yeah, someone says. And when we hear those type of things, we begin to put value on ourselves, often based on the way we look. And once again, depending on who we might say they look like, some people might say you might look like a certain celebrity, and that can be either an encouragement or a discouragement, depending on who it is. But we often assign our worth and our value to our image. And it's often the image that others hold of us or that we hold of ourselves that give us our worth. And this week I looked up on, the Google. You can search anything, and I wanted to know, how do you determine something's worth? And this is what it told me. It said this long list of all these things that you take your assets and your debts, and all of a sudden you can figure out what your worth is, right? That's a financial way to figure that out. That's not what I meant, but I wanted to see what the internet would tell me. But how do we determine our worth? Is it by what people say about us? About what we feel when we look in a mirror, the good things that people say about us, the bad things people say about us, what gives something its worth? I actually think it's a lot simpler than figuring out a math equation. I really think that it boils down to is we determine what something is worth by what something is willing to pay for it. This past month, I had a big crisis over the last few weeks where I had a massive hard drive failure. And I've been a pretty strict guy about backing things up, except in the last year or so. Yeah, of course. And so I lost just an enormous amount of stuff, and I was trying to work on all this, and I was getting, you know, antsy, and I thought, okay, I'm going to buy a new drive. And I don't know how many of you are into tech or anything, but if you've been following things, the price of solid-state drives and hard drives in general, the spinning disks, the more old-school ones, they went down and down and down and down. And then since the new year, they have gone up astronomically. Like something that would have cost you $60 will now cost you $200. And the reason that things are going up is because there's a scarcity of them. It's the whole big long thing about why with AI companies buying all the chips and drives and all that stuff. But it's driven up the price. And so what is something worth? What is a 2 terabyte hard drive worth? A couple years ago, it was worth one thing, but now it's worth so much more because someone like me is willing to pay for it because I need it, right? So what is something worth? How do we determine something's value? How do you determine your value? If you've been with us over the last few weeks, we've been in this series called Origin Story, and we're looking at a study of the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of our story, the story that God lays out for us in Genesis chapter 1 through 3. We've been talking about the reason this is so important to look at these first couple chapters of the book of the Bible is because it gives us what we've been calling our worldview. Our worldview, the lens which with we look at the world around us. And we have this definition of a worldview. A worldview is how you see God, yourself, others, and the world. This is your worldview. All of us have one. All of us have a worldview. Way that we look at the world around us, that we determine, in a lot of ways, the value of others, the value of ourselves, the value of creation. In week one, we saw that before anything ever existed, God existed. In week two, we saw that God speaks into the chaos and he brings order in the beautiful creation that we see around us, the magnificence, the majesty of God on display. And today we get to this question, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Rebecca read that verse for us that many of us are familiar with. The work of the sixth day. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? This is foundational to our worldview. Because if we get this wrong, everything else is distorted. How we see ourselves. How we see and treat others. How we understand our purpose. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Let's pray together. God, as we jump in to continue this amazing story, this account in the first couple chapters of Genesis, Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would be open to hear not my words, but your words to our hearts. That, Lord, each and every one of us, no matter how we walked in here, would recognize the image of God in ourselves and that we would learn to grow, Lord, to see the image of God in others. I pray, Lord, that we would rest in that truth, that we are all created in your image. Lord, may we see the worth and the dignity of each and every one of us, starting with ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen. Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. If you've got your Bible, you'll see this, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. This is what's often referred to as the Imago Dei. You might have heard that before, the Imago Dei, the image of God. The image of God. Now, images are created to image, to show us something. You see in this verse here again, Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. And let's look at those two words for a moment here. This first word, image, is the Hebrew word teslim. To image, to view something. In ancient times, and even today in modern times, kings would often create statues to mark a territory. Right? You would walk into a certain land or a certain place, and there would be a statue of the king. It was an image of the king, and it symbolized to everyone there, this is theirs. This belongs to the king, who provide worth and value to that place. It belongs to the king. It's the image of the king. But there's another word that we see here too, likeness. Likeness is the Hebrew word demuth. And I believe that scholars have debated this for a while. Why does it say he made man in the image and the likeness? Aren't those the same thing? Maybe, but I think there's something going on here. I think there's something deeper for us to see. R.C. Sproul once said this. I believe this was first attributed to him. He said, we are just dust and glory. We are just dust and glory. We're going to look in the next couple of weeks as we get into chapter 2, the zooming in of the creation of man and woman. And if we read that before, we know that God fashioned us from the dust. We are but dust and glory. And I think there's something to this idea here for us to understand that we are made in the image of God. He said, let us, the Trinity, in relationship, make man and woman in our image. But we're not God, are we? Some of us often think we are. Maybe we act like we are, but we're not God, but we are made in his likeness. I think this helps us to see that we are dust and glory. We are like God, but we aren't God. And there's two things I want us to look at as we look at this image of God this morning. And the first one that we can see is that you were intentionally designed. You were intentionally designed. You were created on purpose and for a purpose. You're not randomly assembled. Just like creation wasn't randomly assembled as we saw last week. We are not accidentally formed. Let us make mankind in our image. There's intention behind there. You were intentionally designed. You are not a mistake. You were intentionally designed. There's an amazing verse, passage of Bible that probably most of us are familiar with from Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. We read this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And he goes on. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Verse 16 says this, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." He says to us, before you were born, I saw you. Every day of our lives was written in his book. That's why we care so much about the rights of the unborn, because all life matters. We spend quite a bit of time here talking about the ministry Clarity that's around in our area here. And each month, a group of us go and we pray with the folks there at Clarity. We pray for the ministry there. We pray for the people that are coming in, the men and women who maybe don't fully understand this verse. And they're not sure that what they have within them is life. And we pray that God would speak to them, that God would speak through the women and the men who are serving them. There's this amazing thing that I recently got signed onto from Clarity. If you want to know more about this, call the church office and we'll get you hooked up with this. But they have a prayer chain that goes out via text. And whenever a woman is there in their clinics and is contemplating aborting that baby, they send out a prayer link. They don't give out the person's details. They say, pray for a young woman or whatever the situation might be who is wrestling with this decision and pray for, and then they do name the volunteer that's working with them, that they would be able to minister to them. They would be able to show them the Imago Dei within them, that they would see that they have something fearfully and wonderfully made within them. Because see, so many of us, just as we assign our worth by what people say around us or things that maybe aren't from God, oftentimes we base our value on our capacity. Our capacity maybe to care for a child, or capacity for that child to be what we might call viable. In the old times, you probably have heard stories like this. They're really horror stories. That in ancient times, and not even so long ago, and not even so far away in many places, that they would often discard little girls when they were born because they couldn't work the fields, because they couldn't provide. They weren't productive. They weren't seen as productive, at least in their own minds. And so children were discarded. And there's actually accounts in Roman history of the first century Christians going and picking up those children and taking them as their own, recognizing the Imago Dei within them. Because someone's value is not based on their capacity or on convenience or productivity. Every life is sacred. Those still being knit together in their mother's wombs and those who are walking among us. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Last week, as we were going through the account of creation, we saw this rhythm of that God made the animals and the livestock and the creatures according to their kind. There is no according to their kind here at the account of men and women. We're not made according to our kinds. There's not hierarchies or values placed on different humans. Humans, men and women, were created in his image. There are no of their kinds, but there are distinctions. And those distinctions are what makes us represent the image of God. Both male and female reflect the image of God. One is not better than the other. And while we use male pronouns when we talk about God, God does not have a gender. While we're made in his image, remember, we are his likeness, but we are not God. And in his divine wisdom, God created both male and female to image him. So I was designed male. My wife was designed female. There is no superiority among those. Now, a man is absolutely superior to a woman at being a man. And a woman is absolutely superior to a man at being a woman. And this is the way that God designed it. Both reflect his image equally. We're going to look deeper at the role that men and women play when we zoom in on the creation account in Genesis 2 in a few weeks. But for today, I want us to see that we were intentionally designed by the Creator. We were intentionally designed by the Creator to image him. We often think of imaging when we think of mirrors, right? That we're looking in a mirror. We're going to see in a moment how the mirror that we look through is not the way God originally intended the mirror to look. That when God created man and woman reflecting his likeness, sin distorted that. But for now, we see that we were intentionally designed by a creator, and we are also defined. We were defined. Our value comes from God. Our value doesn't come from our gender, the color of our skin, our bank account, what country we were born in. Our value comes from the God who created us, designed and defined, a perfect reflection of his image. Now, because of the fall And because of man's sin, we have distorted that image. The mirror has become a little fuzzy. I don't know if you've ever seen those carnival mirrors that distort an image. Because of sin, we're going to see this in a couple weeks, that mirror image is distorted, but we are still the image of God. This past week, we had our Woman at the Well event here was hosted, and they were talking about the love that God has for us, and they set up this very large mirror, and all around it, the ladies put notes all over it that talked about who they were in Christ, who God had made them to be, and they asked each lady to go up there and look in that mirror, and often we look at a mirror and we don't have the greatest reaction, but read those around there to be reminded of the image of God within each and every one of us. Now, I know that for many of us, this is complicated. I'm not naive enough to think that because you hear someone say in church that you were created in the image of God and your identity is male and female and all the things that go with that have cleared up so many of the confusion that people have. But so many of us have believed the lies of Satan. The lies that say we are not made in the image of God. Or that as he defined us, it was not really good enough. It's a distortion of the mirror that God has placed before us. And that's Satan's goal, amen, to deceive us. To distort the image so that we don't see the image of God clearly in front of us. We think maybe, as I said earlier, it's a mistake. Something's not right with this. But we were intentionally designed and we were defined. But the perfect mirror image has been distorted. See, sin did not erase the image of God. Sin defaced the image of God. If you don't get anything else from this morning, I want you to take this home. That sin did not erase the image of God in you or the people around you, but it did deface the image of God. It's been vandalized. It's been twisted by Satan. So we can recognize the evil that may have taken hold of someone's life, but that image still remains. And Satan is trying to get us to destroy or to not acknowledge the image of God in ourselves and in each other. We see in the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul tells us about this. He says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." We saw that yesterday or last week. "Being understood from what has been made, so the people are without an excuse. For we look, the heavens declare the glory of God." Verse 21, though, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, and their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the mortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, the true mirror. And they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." See, sin, no sin, erases the image of God in someone. No sexual sin, no violence, no abuse, no destroying of your body or someone else's. And that means so much more than we often just think of these big sins, right? How do we deface the image of God? A lot of us often with the way that we take care of ourselves, or we don't take care of ourselves. We don't exercise, we eat poorly. We smoke, we drink, we do all sorts of things to deface the image of God in ourselves. These are all sins that have defaced the image of God, but it doesn't erase the image of God. I'm going to say it again in case anybody needs to hear this morning. You are not a mistake. You might have made mistakes. You might be making mistakes. But you are intentionally designed, and God defined who you are to give you value and purpose. It's often a phrase that we hear. Sometimes we say it jokingly, and other times it's dead serious, right? We say, well, I was a mistake. Oops, you know, my parents, they didn't expect me. Maybe your parents might not have intended to have you, but God did. You are not a mistake. No matter how or why you were conceived, you were made in the image of God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, I see God's image more easily in people who are like me. You might too. People who are like me, or who like me, or who live like me. But the image of God is in each and every person. The image of God is in this person. The image of God is in this person. The image of God is seen in this person. And the image of God is seen here. The image of God is seen in this person. And the image of God is seen in this person. We see the image of God in this person. And we see the Imago Dei, the image of God in this person. We see the image of God in this person. And we see the image of God in this person. We see the image of God in this person. And the image of God in this person. The image of God is seen in this person. And the image of God is seen in this person. The image of God is seen in this person. And the image of God is seen in this person. The image of God is seen in this person. And the image of God is seen in this person. The image of God is seen in these people. And the image of God is seen here. All of these faces carry God's image. Now, if some of those made you uncomfortable, I think that's for you to consider with the Lord. Now, some of those faces and others that you come across are at various degrees of their sanctification. Some haven't or don't even want to start bearing the image of God, but they're all made in the image of God. They're all made in the image of God. But we don't always treat them like they're made in the image of God, do we? James chapter 3, we read these words. Jesus' own brother said, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Could it be any more clear for us? Not if you agree, not if you like them, not if they've made the right choices. This is not right. James says we praise God and then we turn around and curse people made in the image of God. Years ago, I was on the phone with a customer service representative. And I was trying to cancel our cell phone policy and move to a different company. And this person on the other end of the phone was being extremely difficult. And I'm normally a pretty chill person, but I have like this threshold, right? And when I cross that, and this person on the phone, man, they were rude. They were obnoxious. They were irritating. They were not helpful at all. There was no customer service happening. And I began to get frustrated, and that escalated to where I said things that were really unkind. And I was really frustrated. And you know what? Some people say, well, they deserved that. but I said some things that I shouldn't have said. I didn't curse, maybe like we would say a curse word, but hate was coming out of my mouth. And I forgot that this person was made in the image of God. And I slammed down the phone, and I felt good about myself. Got that taken care of. And all night long, I couldn't sleep. Because I had defaced the image of God in someone else. Now, they might not have been acting the way they should have in that moment, but I did not give them the honor that they were due as someone created in the image of God. And it really ate at me, so much so that the next morning, I tell you this not so I can give myself an attaboy, but so I can hopefully lay down an example for each and every one of us. I got on the phone and I dialed that number back. And of course, I had the person's name and all that because I had written it down because I was going to write a complaint letter. And I said, I need to talk to so-and-so. I talked to them last night. And it took a while, like almost like the next day, they finally called me back. And I apologized to them. And their attitude was different as well. I said, listen, I did not treat you the way you needed to be treated, that you deserves to be treated. You were created in the image of God. And yes, I was frustrated, but there's no excuse for me to speak that way. Now, I don't know what ended up happening to that person, if that was a testimony for them or not. But James tells us we so often devalue those around us. We used to sing a song in Sunday school to remind us, right? It went, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And I understand that's talking about our ethnicities, which is an amazing, amazing display of the image of God. But some of us need to add some other descriptors to that song and sing it when we're watching the news or scrolling social media or driving in traffic or frustrated on the other end of a phone call. See, some people reflect God beautifully. For others, the mirror is more distorted. But remember, sin did not erase the image of God. Sin defaced the image of God. Some better reflect God, but none have lost that image. Each and every person, even those we don't like, even those who are actively working against the glory of God, are not scum, they're not worthless. They are men and women created who were designed and defined to reflect the glory, his glory in the world. Every man, woman, and child is an eternal being made in his image. C.S. Lewis has this amazing quote in his essay, The Weight of Glory. He says, it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you'd be strongly tempted to worship, or else in horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of those overwhelming possibilities. It is with the awe, with the circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. And here's the part that you see on the screen here. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Next to the blessed sacrament itself, he's talking about Christ. Your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. None have lost the image of God. And that should change how we talk. That should change how we treat. That should change how we vote. That should change how we argue. You might say, well, didn't Didn't the fall erase that image of God? The answer to that is no. Scripture tells us that plainly. And just a few chapters later, after the fall, and even after the flood in Genesis 9:6, God gives these words. He says, if anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image. This is after the fall. We still have the image of God. It might be defaced, but we still have the image of God. We're going to talk more about that in the next couple weeks. But for today, you were designed. You were defined. And next week, we're going to see that we are directed. But today, before we close, I want to leave you with a few questions to consider. Do I recognize God's image in others? Do I recognize God's image in others? In my friends? In my family? Do I talk down to others? That's a way of defacing them. Even in that moment of not acknowledging the image of God in them, that I am superior, you are less than. We do that with people all the time, especially those within our home. Do we recognize the image of God in strangers? Our server at the restaurant, who maybe isn't getting the order right, or the person on the other end of the phone? Do people experience grace when they're around me? Do they feel seen? Do they encounter patience and kindness and truth in love? Do I recognize God's image in others? Second question, do I honor God's design? Do my daily decisions, from the clothes that I wear, to the way that I use my resources, to the way I treat my body, to the things I do to others' bodies, to my relationships, do I honor God's design within myself and those around us? And thirdly, do I see God's image in myself? This is so hard for many of us. Do I see God's image in myself? Well, I received the identity that God gave me, male, female, blonde hair, brunette, light skin, dark skin, tall, short. Will I honor that image of God within myself? Ephesians 2:10 says, I love the way the NLT says this, for we are God's masterpiece. Not just this, but this. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We were designed, we were created, we were defined for a purpose. Alistair McGrath, in his commentary on this passage, says, within each of us exists the image of God, however disfigured and corrupted by sin it may presently be. God is able to recover this image through grace as we are conformed to Christ. Do I recognize the image of God in others? Do I honor God's design? And do I see God's image within myself? Now, we might all have defaced the mirror, but are we allowing God to make us look more and more like his image? Jesus shows us what it looks like to be made in the image of God and be human. The Gospels give us that account. We can clearly see what a human made in the God's image was intended to look like. And while none of us will perfectly reflect that image this side of eternity like Jesus did, we can better reflect the image that he intended. A little clearer every day. More and more like him. It goes back to the definition we use in here, what it means to be a disciple, someone who is following Jesus but is being changed by Jesus. The mirror is getting clearer, less distorted day by day. And if that doesn't ring true for you, then you need to do something about that. Because you were designed to reflect the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The amazing thing about mirrors are they don't reflect anything if the light is turned off. None of us get ready in the morning, turn our bathroom light off, and look in the mirror, right? We need the light to be on. And the same thing applies with the image of God. Someone here is looking in a dark mirror. We need the light of God to illuminate who we were made to be. The purpose, the plan, the design that he has for each and every one of us. How do we know what something is worth? I said what someone's willing to pay for it, right? And God shows us what we're worth. You're worth his son. I'm worth his son. Every single one of those images, even the ones we struggle with, are worth his son. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus died on the cross so that all humanity could be with him. Let us make man in our image. He intended for us to be together all along, and so we made a way. What are you worth? You're worth everything to him. What are others worth? Everything to him. May we recognize that we are designed, that we are defined, and may we treat ourselves and others as people made in the image of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating each and every one of us in your image. Thank you for loving us. In spite of the defacing that has happened to the mirror, Lord, and help us to see the image of God in others, not just those who are like us, who like us, or are like us. Help us to honor your design in each and every person and be people who help others see themselves more clearly. Lord, may we be agents of change. May we be, as you told us to be, the light of the world, to shine on the mirror so that people can clearly see who you created them to be, not who the world says they are, not what their past says they are, not what their parents said they were, not what society tells them they should be, not what their even own feelings tell them they should be. But Lord, help us to see in the light of Christ in that mirror who you have created us to be, and help us to show that to others. God, may we be people who grow more and more to clearly reflect the image of you to the world around us. In your name and for your glory. And in this we pray. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.